The U.S. sends Lebanon help in the aftermath of the Flight 409 crash. Iran's Tehran Air has shut down operations following Sunday's crash. And a mission organization sends its Quest Kodiak to help in Haiti. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, January 26, 2010. Ethiopian Airlines Flight 409 disappeared off radar screens shortly after leaving Beirut International Airport en route to Addis Ababa early Monday morning. Eyewitness reports indicate the 737 ditched in the Mediterranean Sea. An unnamed source at the Lebanese Civil Aviation Authority confirmed to the New York Times, quote, "Yes, the plane crashed into the sea off Lebanon," unquote. The flight reportedly took off just after its scheduled departure time of 2:10 a.m. local. Less than an hour later, Lebanese radar lost contact. The plane was reported to be carrying 82 passengers and a crew of 8. The USS Rampage, a 505-foot-long Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer, has been dispatched to assist in the search for Flight 409. A P-3 Orion maritime patrol aircraft based in Italy has also joined the effort. Lebanese officials reportedly are discounting terrorism as the cause, attributing the crash instead to a severe thunderstorm. There is one report from the coast of Lebanon that an aircraft was seen descending engulfed in flames. The NTSB has announced it's sending an investigator to assist the government of Lebanon. Iran's Tehran Air shut down operations on Sunday after one of its planes veered off a runway during landing, catching fire and shearing off both wings. All 157 passengers and 13 crew members aboard the Tu-154M are reported to have survived, but the government reported 42 hospitalized. The aircraft had arrived from Isfahan and was in a holding pattern waiting for visibility to improve at Mashhad International Airport. When a passenger on the flight reportedly became ill, the crew declared an emergency and initiated an ILS approach. The plane veered off runway 31 right, possibly due to a tail strike. The nose gear collapsed, causing a wing to strike the ground. Images from the accident site show the wings sheared off and the tail separated, with the rear fuselage and all three engines badly burned. The Iranian Civil Aviation Authority website has already reported that an anomaly in Engine 3 led to hydraulic and APU failure during landing. Iran is under strict trade sanctions that prevent the import of any new aircraft, parts, or maintenance equipment from the U.S. or its allies. The country has one of the worst civil aviation records in the world, with at least 7 fatal airline crashes since 2005. Mission Aviation Fellowship has set up a Port-au-Prince communications center, providing high-bandwidth communications via satellite to workers from at least 16 international aid groups working on the earthquake relief effort. Huntsville, Alabama-based Gator Technologies donated the use of an inflatable satellite antenna system for the communications center, which is located at the offices of World Concern, a relief agency operating out of the airport. Dedicated phone lines are provided for relief agencies, along with VOIP and email. MAF reports its missionaries' homes sustained little damage and are being used to house relief workers from many agencies. Other MAF and relief staff are sleeping on cots in the ministry's hangar. Cargo shipping containers are serving as offices. MAF has also dispatched its new Quest Kodiak turboprop, which was based in Alaska, to Haiti. The plane carries more cargo than the Cessna 206s the organization has been using in Haiti, can access shorter runways, and burns jet fuel, which is easier to come by right now in Haiti. MAF has 4 Kodiaks and expects to have 18 in operation within a few years. Up next on ANN, the FAA offers details on flight restrictions for the Winter Olympics. The U.S. is providing military UAVs to Pakistan. And Western Michigan University upgrades its fleet to Release 9. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 26th. I'm Paul Plagg. The specifics of airspace restrictions for the 2010 Winter Olympics in Vancouver, BC have been announced by the FAA. They'll be in effect from this Friday through March 24th, affecting procedures in Northwest Washington State to complement Canadian restrictions and procedures across the border. Operators are advised to check NOTAMs frequently. Among the restrictions, most aircraft flight operations are prohibited from the surface to, but not including, 18,000 feet MSL in the affected area, with a few exceptions including aircraft on an active IFR or VFR flight plan and assigned a discrete transponder code. Only aircraft that are arriving or departing a local airfield may operate in the TFR, and aircraft may not loiter. Flight plans using DUOTs will not be accepted. During the period, it's recommended that operators of private aircraft submit EAPIS data to U.S. Customs and Border Protection 24 hours prior to departure or at the time the provisional flight authorization is requested. Get more details at aero-news.net and check before you fly, because changes to procedures are possible. The U.S. will provide Pakistan with a dozen RQ-7 Shadow UAVs to support its fight against extremists, Defense Secretary Robert Gates confirmed it Friday to Pakistani reporters. Quote, "We share a lot of information that we acquire on the Afghan side of the border and from our satellites, but we also are trying to help the Pakistanis build their own capabilities," unquote. Gates added that the U.S. will provide not just the aircraft, but also the training required to, quote, "coordinate these platforms and be able to get the maximum possible value out of them," unquote. A senior defense official traveling with Gates told reporters the U.S. will provide 12 of the unarmed aircraft. Funding would come from congressionally appropriated counterinsurgency funds that Gates says enable the Defense Department to quickly provide equipment or training to help the Pakistanis in the fight. Shadows are relatively small, with a 14-foot wingspan, and have an ability to oversee specific sites and feed video images. Avidyne says Western Michigan University has selected the Integra Release 9 integrated flight deck for its fleet of Cirrus SR-20s. The upgrades will be performed by Brown Aviation Lease. Captain David Powell, Dean of WMU's College of Aviation, explained, quote, "We have been flying with Avidyne's Integra systems on our fleet of Cirrus aircraft for the past 5 years. When it came time to upgrade our fleet, we looked at all our options and we found that Avidyne's Integra Release 9 integrated flight deck system is simply the best one on the market. Avidyne's suite features the kind of keyboard display unit and nomenclature used in the airline industry. Our students go on and report back to us that they are far ahead of other new hires when it's time for them to make the transition to transport category aircraft. They feel right at home in the commercial environment," unquote. Brown's installation includes dual displays, WAS, and broadcast data link weather. Still ahead, there's little we could actually do with warning of an asteroid hit. The world's airlines meet with Janet Napolitano, and U.S. Airways thought it had its first Jewish suicide bomber. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, January 26th. I'm Paul Plagg. The National Research Council is out with a new report on NASA's options for detecting and mitigating damage from near-Earth objects, or NEOs. The report says the $4 million a year currently being spent to detect comets and asteroids that could collide with the Earth is not enough to do the job. In 2005, Congress mandated detection of NEOs 140 meters in diameter or larger by 2020. But the report notes that no new funding was approved by Congress or even requested by the administration to get that done. The council also has recommendations on how it might yet get done. But the real question is, with Bruce Willis nearing retirement age, What would we actually do about an asteroid on a collision course with Earth? The Council says using spacecraft to push or pull approaching objects into different orbits, or just ramming them to accomplish the same result, would both require decades of warning on a specific object. That leaves nuclear explosions or just evacuating impact zones to get people out of the way as the only options with a realistic shot at making a difference. The International Air Transport Association hosted a meeting in Geneva, Switzerland Friday between officials of 25 airlines, IATA Director General and CEO Giovanni Bisignani, the Secretary General of the International Civil Aviation Organization, and U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano. The meeting's focus was finding ways in which government and industry can cooperate to improve aviation safety worldwide. Bisignani commended the U.S. for proactively engaging the aviation industry. Quote, "We applaud Secretary Napolitano's commitment to engage industry and find workable and effective solutions. A single meeting cannot solve all the security challenges we face, but it is a major step in the right direction," unquote. Follow-up meetings are planned. At the same time, Bisignani echoed the recent sentiment of many, including the Airline Pilots Association, which has called for a philosophical shift away from security theater and an over-reliance on scanning technology. Quote, "We need a checkpoint system that focuses on finding bad people, not just bad objects," unquote. And finally today, if you still weren't convinced we've gone security crazy, here's proof. A religious item called a tefillin, being used by a 17-year-old Jewish youth in a prayer ritual last Thursday on board a U.S. Airways flight from New York to Louisville, panicked the crew, who thought it was a bomb. The flight made an unscheduled stop in Philadelphia, where the TSA was waiting, and the FBI had bomb-sniffing dogs standing by. The boy was eventually cleared to continue on to his destination, but a whole bunch of people had their travel plans screwed up by the delay. Agudath Israel of America, a national organization representing Orthodox Jews in the United States, says it has tried to work with TSA to provide a better understanding of the practices of Orthodox Jews so this kind of thing wouldn't happen. Somewhere, an Islamic terrorist is laughing really hard right now. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, XPRIZE's Peter Diamandis talks about the history and future of technological competitions. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.